Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. Anahid, we are so excited to have you join us.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
It's going to be so fun to hear your story. I know the stories aren't fun, but the outcome is better.
Yes.
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 It's always a rough journey getting to the outcome, but the outcome is the best.
Yeah, and you've earned every piece of it. So.
Oh, thank you. I feel like I have. It's a special badge that we all have, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little bit, kind of where did it all start? Where did it all begin?
I didn't know this at the time of when I first started having symptoms. My first symptoms were in 2015. I was training to do a half marathon in Nevada, Las Vegas, rock and roll. And I did a 10-mile run on a Saturday. And I came home and I was having terrible pain in my kidneys and bladder. And I kind of brushed it off. I said, I just did a 10-mile run. It's probably nothing. And then probably 4 months later, around Christmas time, I started having preventricular contractions. And I got really scared when that started happening. Yeah. So I reached out to a clinician that I knew, a nurse practitioner that worked in a big cardiology practice here in Phoenix. I'm in rare disease biopharmaceutical sales. So, I knew physicians, and I went to her, and she did the whole workup. Came back, was told nothing's wrong with you. It's probably stress. So it lasted for about 3 months. So we were into around March of 2016. And then I started having burning nerve pain in my upper part of my back. And the symptoms just kept coming after that. Eye issues, ear issues, throat issues. The pain continued. I had a kidney stone and I was hospitalized. So that was 2016. I ended up getting the diagnosis of fibromyalgia by a clinician, a MD. She was a physical medicine doctor that I had seen years previously, that she was an acupuncturist. And so I thought, well, maybe I should go and get trigger point and acupuncture from her, and maybe that will help with the burning pain. So she started treating me and she diagnosed me with fibromyalgia. And when she gave me that diagnosis, I really didn't feel like it resonated with me because I didn't have pain everywhere. It was just isolated to the upper part of my back, under my shoulder blades. But I accepted it because I was a busy, single, working mom. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to say it's okay. I went on medications, prescriptions to treat the pain and got on with my life. And then at the beginning of 2019, I was getting worse and worse and worse. I now at this point was not running anymore. I couldn't exercise. I had extreme fatigue. And in my mind, I thought, this is not right. And then I couldn't breathe. I had extreme air hunger at night. I would put my head on my pillow and I would say a prayer. I'd be like, I just hope I wake up in the morning, because I felt like I was dying. And so my son had a friend, and I went to pick him up from his friend's house. And the mother said, Anahid, how are you doing? And I felt compelled to share with her that I still wasn't feeling well. Now we're 2016, now to 2019, it's been 3 years. So she said, well, what's going on? What are your symptoms? So I listed, I had 20 different things. She says, you have Lyme disease. And we're standing in her kitchen. And I looked at her and I go, Lyme disease? I grew up back east. And I knew, I'd heard about Lyme disease, but I said, wow, okay, well. And so I drove home. I got my son and we went home. I got on the computer and I started looking it up and I started reading different stories. And I thought, oh my gosh, she's right. That's what I have. So I texted her. I said, so her son, this is great. This story is not a brief story. Her son is autistic, but he also has Lyme and he's nonverbal. So that's how she knew about Lyme, because Adam, her older boy, who's now 16, has Lyme and autism. So they referred me to their doctor, and I walked in to his office in May of 2019. And I just basically said, I've seen 25 different doctors. I've been hospitalized 3 times. I don't care what your test says. I know that I have Lyme disease. So what can we do? Can we like start treatment? So we started on a herbal protocol, because I really didn't want to start on prescription medication. And we did the test. I did DNA connections, the urine. I exercised for 60 minutes and then did, you know, the urine test, sent it in, and bingo. I had Lyme, and then I had 2 strains of Bartonella and 2 strains of Babesia. Mm. And so I started on my treatment journey, which was, I started in June of 2019. And almost, I would say most days, I'm about 90-95% good. But I still have a little bit of residual stuff that I'm working on. But I'm working full time. I won last year of my company. I won President's Club. So I'm doing amazing. Another component to my story is that when my son turned 9, he started having weird symptoms. And it turns out that I passed the infections to him in utero. So I was also dealing with a child at the time of my diagnosis and treatment. He also got diagnosed, and I had to start a treatment regime while I was really sick.
Wow.
So I was working. I was telling Tanya earlier, I was able to keep my job because of COVID. In essence, you know, the world shut down. So it gave me a moment of breath to pause and to start sort of figure out, okay, what's working, what isn't working, how am I going to get better without a spotlight being on me, you know, with my manager, what are you doing, Anahid? You're not doing enough lunches or programs with doctors. I was able to pause everything, and I was in bed quite a bit. I would do a Zoom lunch with a doctor, and then I would go back, get in bed.
Go, yeah. Wow. Well, I'm just thrilled, and I shouldn't be thrilled, but I am. I'm thrilled that you got diagnosed from your friend. Like, you know, it's so hard to get doctors to diagnose us properly, you know, and that's one of the reasons why we do this podcast as well, is for people to hear and just learn about what Lyme disease is. You know, most listeners actually either battle it or have a loved one that battle it. But just to know and just to be aware of the random strange symptoms that we go through, you know, because you never know when you might be listening to somebody having a conversation and you can kind of chime in and say, hey, you know what? I think you have Lyme.
Yes.
So it's just good to spread that awareness about it. But yeah, that's great. So you get your diagnosis. What type of herbal protocol were you put on, and what other things that you did you do?
So it was his. So they were drops. It wasn't, you know, I know there's different, you know, my son did, it came in a box, and I don't recall the name of it now, because he did that. He did that initially, but then it didn't work. And, you know, we ended up, I was impatient. Okay. To be honest with you, I feel like in this country, if not maybe in the world, I think it's more though here in the United States, you know, we're raised and we're conditioned that you get sick, you go to the doctor, they give you the medicine, you get better, and you move on. With Lyme disease, that doesn't fall into this category, right? So we are impatient. I was impatient. Like, you know, so I did the herbal drops, and he had me on different tinctures for about 3 months. And I just wasn't seeing, you know, any clear improvement for me. And, you know, to be honest, I probably wasn't detoxing enough. I mean, I've learned now that it needs to be killed. You need to detox and you need to immune support, right? There's these steps you have to go through. And for me, that's what helped me get better. A lot of detox. Because you can't just kill without getting everything out. And my Lyme doctor that I went to had a set protocol, and he put everyone on the same protocol, which I now know and have learned that I don't think that's the proper way to do things, that I think everyone's body and chemistry is different, and we all are dealing with different pathogens and different infections. And I learned along the way, and I learned on my own, because I did have questions, but he wasn't answering them to be real clear with me. And what happened to me, which scared me the most, was that once I started on the antibiotic regime, which was, I was on Doxy, I was on Alinia for parasites, it went into my brain. I didn't have any psych issues before. That was not part of my symptomology at all. I was always happy. I had no depression, no anxiety. Once I started treating, I literally could feel that the infections went up into my brain. And I was crying every day. I was, again, like I mentioned, I'm a single mother. And so, you know, I was having to care for my son at the time, who was 9 going on 10. And I was not doing well, you know, emotionally. And so I went to him and I said, if we don't figure out something here, like this now has moved up in my brain and I can feel it. So what's going on with that? Like, why is that happening? And so he explained to me the blood-brain barrier and the infections are going to go where they can hide, the medications and your immune system. And so I was like, well, how can we now fix that? Because now I have that whole thing happening that I didn't have before.
Right.
And so I ended up going on to Sulfram because I'd learned about it. You know, we learn a lot from our groups, but I was on vacation in Belize and I met one of the top Lyme doctors in Pawling, New York. And I'm blanking on his name right now. I met a woman that sister-in-law works with him. So she had mentioned to me, oh, you have Lyme, you should try disulfiram. So I did my research and I came back from Belize and then I met with my natural MD and I said, I want to go on disulfiram. And he said, I was going to talk to you about that. I said, yeah, we need to do something because I'm going to be on disability real quick. He's like, oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. I said, yes, I am. I know myself and I'm going south. Like, I'm crying every day. I don't want to be around people. I had extreme depersonalization and extreme anxiety. And like I said, I never had anxiety ever in my life before. So this was a whole new set of symptoms that I didn't know really how to deal with. So I started on disulfiram. I was reluctant. I was scared. You know, there wasn't a lot of information out there and there weren't a lot of studies on patients. But that definitely was part of my healing process. It was.
And how did you do on the disulfiram for, you know, because it can be pretty rough on some people.
It was very rough. And the first 2 months, I loved it. Like all my mental issues calmed down. My brain fog went away. I had more energy than I'd had in years. But as I stayed on it and as I amped up, so we did me really slow. I started at very low dose. I think it was 16.5 milligrams. And then I was titrating. Like I was taking it every other day for 2 weeks. Then I went to every day, that same dose. And then I doubled it. He had me titrating up real slow. But once I got up to, I think it was at 300 or 325, the die-off, I mean, the herxing, and I wasn't doing enough detoxing. And so I had to up my detoxing. I went twice a week for a colonic. And that really helped. And then I bought an infrared sauna blanket. I was in that for an hour every day. Then I was doing coffee enemas in between the colonics at home. You know, so there was a lot of detoxing that I needed to do. And that definitely helped. And I came off of it. I was on it for a totality of 7-8 months. Oh. And I came off of it. But I still was dealing with symptoms. And you know,
how high did you go dosage wise?
325 daily.
Okay.
Was my target dose.
And you started at like 25 or where did you start?
16 and a half, I think is what I was getting it compounded.
Okay.
At a compounded pharmacy. Tough drug to take. My son also did this protocol. And he responded really, really well as well. And, you know, he's almost 100%, but he has PANDAS as well.
Okay.
He got, you know, he got strep, and then because he was born with these infections. And so the learning curve for me, it, you know, there was a lot of layers to my healing, and it wasn't with one doctor, and it wasn't with one treatment protocol, because I felt as if my initial Lyme doctor got me so far, and then I felt like I had plateaued and I wasn't getting any better. And then he was wanting to put me on peptides and do these other things. And it just didn't resonate with me. And I said, you know, I don't think I want to do that. And I'd heard about stem cells. And so I researched, and I found actually a clinic in Mexico through one of my Lyme groups online. And a woman had posted that she'd gotten healed at this clinic in Mexico, and they were doing stem cells and detoxing. And I felt at that point I needed to go down there. So I went in the middle of COVID. It was August of 2020. It was like a 10-month wait period to get an appointment. And I got the appointment, and I could barely walk. I mean, I got on the plane. I was so depleted and so weak from the disulfiram and the antibiotics that I'd been on. And again, you know, I felt like nobody was really guiding me that these drugs are going to damage your body, that bacteria is going to be going crazy in your body. It's going to go up in your brain. I mean, it was sort of like I was learning as I was going, and nobody prepared me for the different levels of what I went through. And it was really dark. There was days and weeks where I was just in bed. I had to hire a woman to come in and help me with my son. We were in lockdown. He was doing homeschool, and I couldn't be around my kid.
Oh my gosh, that's so much. Oh,
that's
so much.
So what's this? So you had that. That was in the United States, and then, or did this take place in Mexico?
Mexico. I flew down.
Yeah.
To San Diego and went across into Tijuana. There's a clinic there, and I got detoxing, so chelation, ozone. I was doing ozone here in the United States. My biggest challenge was figuring out how I was going to continue paying for all of this as a single mother.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, all these treatments. Then if you bring in stem cells, obviously that kind of adds to the ticket.
So my doctor here wanted to do stem cells on me, but using my own platelets, blood, whatever, right? So and it was 10,000 for one round. So this clinic in Mexico, the first time I went, it was $2,800 for 3 days of ozone, chelation. The last day is when they give you the stem cells, but I got stem cell shots as well. Shark stem cell shots in the areas of my back where I was having the pain. And I had knee issues as well. So they did that, and I came home, and within a month, I felt better. I felt like, wow, something has helped my immune system and my body restore it, reset itself in a way. It wasn't a quick fix. Nothing I did was a quick fix. It was a dedication to not giving up and not, you know, having this mentality that, oh, I'm going to try something for a month, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to leave it. No, I needed to sit with it for a while, each different protocol I tried. And then when it stopped feeling like it was benefiting me anymore, that's when I would switch and look for something else. And, you know, I think that is really what got me to where I am today. It was 2 years of trips to the Mexico clinic. I went every 4 months I went every 4 months for a year, and now I'm down to every 6 months. So I go twice a year down to get, I just came back. We went at the end of July, my son and I. So I went for a year alone, and then I started taking my son down as well. And he responded. The first treatment he had was unbelievable how quickly he responded. He was passing parasites. He got chelated, ozone, all natural. My goal was to get us off of the pharmaceutical bucket that we had been on, because I felt like intuitively we had been on that stuff long enough. And if, you know, if it was going to do anything, it's already done it. And I felt like some of the meds that I'd been on, I was on doxycycline for like a year and a half, that it had done damage, right? So you can't take pharmaceuticals without having some residual damage from that, right? And so, you know, restoring my gut biome, I felt like was imperative. And the clinic in Mexico wasn't anti-pharmaceutical. They just would prefer if you could wean off and get off of the you know, the pills that you were on, so that the body could restore itself, right? Lining it up so that the toxicity is down, the infections are low, and your own immune system could come in and start to do what it should be doing, you know, before it got tipped, the scale got tipped.
Yeah, yeah, because I mean, your body is using its resources to battle the Lyme, and now you're having to allocate resources to battle some of the pharmaceuticals as well. So, I mean, it doesn't mean that pharmaceuticals are never useful. I mean, that's what you sell, right?
But, they have their place.
Yeah, they have their place. But so that's fascinating. So your son just started passing worms and things just from like the chelation and ozone?
Yes. He was off of, at this point, I had taken him off all pharmaceuticals because I felt like, you know, he's young. He's been on this stuff. He was on for about 9 months. Doxy, he was on Alinea. He was on, I switched him too. I found a neurologist that was Lyme literate here in Arizona. And so I moved him from the natural MD that we were both with, because he was having major psych stuff. Like he was presenting, his first symptom was gut. So he had major nauseousness all the time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, the kid was nauseous. And then that started to affect his brain. And I saw that there was a, you know, that it was correlated. So I kind of freaked out. He wanted to harm himself. He came to me one day, he goes, I want to hurt myself, Mom. And I was like, oh my, what do you mean you want to hurt yourself? Let's talk about that. And so he says, you need to help me. There's something wrong with my brain. I don't feel myself. And so I got on the Lyme group and I reached out and I found a neurologist here. And right away I called, I got him in. We did a bunch of blood work. And, you know, she then told me he also has PANDAS. And we did a test 3 days. He wore those things on his head at home to look at his brain activity and see if he was having seizures while he was sleeping. That was all okay, but he did have encephalitis. And so we took him off of all the medication, and then he was doing drops, and he seemed to get a bit better. But again, the clinic in Mexico was really the turning point. And I don't know that if we hadn't done the stuff beforehand, would we have had the same results? Who knows?
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's exactly that. I mean, if you prep the body appropriately and then you just turn the right key, then things happen, you know? And so it can be that all the preparations that you had done for him and yourself is really what kind of drove it further. And it's kind of what made these stem cells then function the way that they did. You know, because if you hadn't done the detox, if you hadn't done maybe some of the kill with antibiotics, if you hadn't done, we don't know. Yeah, but
yes,
yeah, but it is really cool that you had that impact from the stem cells.
Yes,
I feel very thankful because I really didn't know what was. I mean, at one point I surrendered and I said, you know, I'm just going to go with what my gut's telling me, because everyone has their own journey and their own story and everyone has a different story. And I just have to go where I'm being pulled. But I saw him rebound so quickly, and I took photos of these things that he was passing. The neurologist wanted to see them. And she's a Western, she's an MD, Western schooled, but she's also believes in, Eastern medicine as well. So she listened to me when I wanted to try Desbio was the drops that Dante did. And I definitely saw they really helped him, but those alone weren't going to completely eradicate everything. You know, when he was born, I was told that he had an infection. And at the time I was like, because he was sick, he was jaundiced, but then he also had acid reflux. My breast milk, he couldn't digest it. And the formula, I had to switch to formula, and I had to buy the special formula. He had all kinds of, he didn't sleep through the night. He was agitated all the time. He was a very fussy baby. And now looking back, you know, once I got my diagnosis, I realized, well, I had Lyme all along. So I was infected 28 years ago. I was on a camping trip in Northern Arizona fishing. And I believe I got it from mosquitoes. I don't even believe that it was a tick that got me, because I had gotten bit up and down both legs with mosquito bites. 3 days after that camping trip, I was actually a mortgage broker back then. This was before I got into pharmaceuticals. And I went to work that day, sitting at my mortgage desk, and all of a sudden my spine started to hurt, burn. So I thought, what's going on with my back? Maybe I, you know, tweaked it or whatever. I went to the chiropractor and he adjusted me. I went back to my office. I was sitting at my desk and I got suddenly really hot and I spiked this 105 fever. So I excused myself from work. I left work and I didn't leave my apartment for 3 straight weeks. I was bedridden. I was delirious. I called my family practitioner over the phone. She said, oh, you probably just have a virus, you know, just take Tylenol and ibuprofen. And so it was a month before I got better, but nobody examined me. Nobody tested me for anything. And I got better. And so I somewhat got on with my life, but I had weird things. I've always been a runner, and I pulled a muscle under my right rib, and I had pain under my right rib for 5 years. I went from doctor to doctor again on this quest to find out what was wrong under my right rib, all the way to Mayo Clinic here in Scottsdale. And they basically said, we've done every test on you. There's nothing wrong with you. We're going to send you to the psych department to do a psychological evaluation. I said, you can psych eval me all you want and I will do it. So I did. Test results came back. There's nothing wrong with her. I said, I already told you that. I'm not making this up. So I ended up at a chiropractor who did myofascial release. My internal medicine doctor met this guy. He had just come back from North Carolina, had gone for special training in myofascial release. I went to see him and he did this treat, you know, put his hands under my ribs, pushed on the muscle, it released it. And I broke out again in this, I got all flushed red. I was 28, I'm 56 now, so 28 years ago. I started sweating. I stood up. The pain was completely gone. One treatment with this guy. So that happened, right? And so then I get on with my life. I'm like, oh, I'm better. I don't know what that was, but he cured me, you know? So things were happening to me, but nothing took me out until when I turned 49 and I, you know, started having those symptoms after that run that I went on. And another component to my story, my story is very multifaceted. I had started a new job and they had given me a car and it was a Ford Explorer. Turns out the Ford Explorer that I ordered was defective and it was leaking carbon monoxide into the cabin of the car. Oh. That is what my trigger was.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
That is what my son was in the car too. So I got chemical tested and sure enough, I came back with a high level of MTBE in my body. And so, you know, everyone said that, you know, stress, I said, my whole life's been a ball of stress. Not saying that that didn't contribute, but I've always assimilated and dealt with stress pretty well. And so I think that was the big factor, the chemical, the carbon monoxide, you know, you can't smell it. And so I was in that car for 2 years before I took the car in to the dealer, they tested it and they confirmed your car was defective. It was leaking.
Wow.
And so that,
you know,
was
in most people, I think that have Lyme for a long time and it lies dormant in your body, because I agree with you. I think on your camping trip all those years ago from those mosquito bites is probably what did it, because look at what you went through for a month after that. But
yes.
I think that I just lost my train of thought. When it lays dormant in our body for so long, I hear it time and time again, there's some sort of trauma to your body physically or an emotional trauma, and that's usually what brings it full on out.
Yes.
And it sounds like that's what happened to you and your son both.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So I kind of backed into this because I'm kind of very inquisitive and I like to figure things out. And I did a review of my life and I was like, well, you remember that pain under my right rib and then that fever that I had? I thought I had viral meningitis. I kind of self-diagnosed myself. But what's interesting is as I've been healing, I was telling my doctor the other day, I said, I can feel my spinal fluid almost. Like I can feel that burning that I had when I first got infected. I can feel it intermittently still. Wow. On days when I'm having bad days. So that was my symptom that came and stayed the longest. So I feel like it's probably going to be the thing that leaves my body the last. So I still deal with it on certain days when I overdo it. But I feel very thankful and blessed that I'm really high functioning again.
That's so awesome. That's so great.
Yes, yeah, it is. So do you do things at home? Do you take any type of supplements or what type of detoxing do you continue to do?
So I love to do my infrared sauna. It's a blanket that I get into. I'm not doing it daily. I was doing it daily when I was really sick. But I do 3 times a week. I'll get in there for 60 minutes. I do dry brushing. I also do coffee enemas. Once a week, I try to do one. I love doing the colonics, and I need to get back to doing that. I have a wonderful colonic lady. And, you know, it's just time and getting into her schedule. And, you know, I think it's very important to continue detoxing just because of the world we live in, right? Whether you're sick or not, I feel like it's an imperative thing, right? So glutathione is something that I take regularly, liposomal glutathione, but I like to get the IVs as well. And I think ozone has really helped me a lot because I do that here. It's just more expensive, you know, to do. But I like to do it every 2 weeks if I can fit it in and I've got the financial wherewithal to do it.
Ozone, you just do like a UBI or a Mejada chemotherapy or EBU or...
They just pull the blood out and then put ozone into the bag and then put it back in me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and pass by a little device that irradiates it with ultraviolet light.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is that these pathogens, the Lyme bugs, you know, mold, mycotoxin, all these different things. I mean, it's not like they all of a sudden appeared now. They've been around for a long time. And it is these additional chemicals, additional frequencies, 5Gs, and all these kind of things that makes them behave in a different way than what they used to. So now we are more exposed because we are dealing with more of these toxins. So that's why it's so important to kind of do the detoxification. Also look at your environment, you know, how much 5G am I exposed to, how much EMF, how much, you know, dirt electricity, all these kind of things. So you do that inventory to reduce that stress, not only on your own body, but on the pathogens, which will then change their behavior so they're not as virulent.
Yes, yes. I'm very thankful for getting sick. I feel like it changed me. And it made me much more aware of things that I wasn't aware of before. And I'm healthier than I've ever been in my life, both spiritually, mentally, physically. I feel like I've been reborn almost in a sense, because I did hit rock bottom. And there were days that I was like, what am I doing here? What is the point to all of this? Yeah. You know, and I think when you're bedridden, which I was in 2019, when the world was shut down, I was like, COVID didn't scare me, although I lost my father to it in 2020. he passed from it, and my mother got it, but she didn't pass from it. But, you know, I knew it was dangerous, but what I'd been living with had already, I had already faced, I felt like I was dying, you know, and I faced my own mortality many days when I was in bed and didn't know. And there weren't a lot, there's just not a lot of support, right? So you have to seek it out. And once you do, you know, it's out there. But again, it's nobody else is living in your body but you. And you're the captain of your own ship, in a sense, right? I mean, the clinician is going to help you and hopefully educate you. But I felt like my clinician was good to a certain point. Then I felt like, okay, he's not listening to me anymore, and he just wants to sell this next protocol or do the peptides. And I'm like, I don't think that's my answer at this point, you know? And there's a huge financial component to this disease that, you know, it's not only you're sick, but how are you going to pay for all of this? The supplements alone, right? Nothing's covered.
No, it's a fortune. Yeah.
Yeah. I know it financially ruined me. It definitely did.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but like you said, I'm a different person than I was before I had Lyme. And I'm not going to say in a good way or a bad way. It doesn't matter, and I don't know. I'm just different.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And we learn to be our own advocate through our Lyme journey. And
yes.
And like you, I was, you know, in a dark place, and I thought, what's the point of living? You know, and my issue was the doctors kept telling me nothing was wrong with me, and I was bedridden and I didn't know my name. And I thought, something is wrong with me. But if they're telling me nothing's wrong with me, then nobody can make me better. So why do I want to live? You know?
Yeah. Yes.
So it's you go through so many almost like grieving phases when you deal with
totally.
Lyme.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, you do. So like you, I can totally relate to how you're just a different person, you know? So,
yeah.
Wow, you have a very powerful journey, and then to bring your son into it as well. That is just like, I don't know how you did it. I really don't.
It scared me when he came to me and said, "Mom, there's something wrong with my brain. You have to help me." I was just like, "Oh my Lord, I'm not going to stop until we figure out your cure." I mean, at this point, it had moved from me, and it was like, he's 9 years old. I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to get you better, but you're going to have to do everything I tell you to do. And he even went and had one colonic. I convinced him to do one. He did the one, and that was it. But he was more willing to do coffee enemas at home. He got in the sauna. You know, these were imperative things that we needed to do to detox, to get the die-off out.
Yeah.
You know,
had you not been sick with Lyme, you know, who's to say, but maybe you wouldn't have been able to understand what your son was trying to tell you, you know, and then maybe you could have sent him down that rabbit hole of, you know, it's all psychiatric or it's all in your head. So,
yes.
You know, I think
yes.
Things just happen the way that they're supposed to happen. And unfortunately, you had to live through that Lyme journey to be able to recognize it in your son and help him too. So
it was a blessing. You're right.
Yeah.
Well,
because I do think that there are many children that their parents that don't know about Lyme. You're a hypo. I met one in Mexico, a young man. He was 27, but he had lived his whole childhood. His family didn't believe him and basically told him that there was nothing wrong with him. And that he found the clinic in Mexico and found his cure down there, but he had no support from his family until he got better from the treatments in Mexico.
Yeah, and it happens time and time again. It's very sad.
Well, Anahid, it's such a powerful story, and thank you so much for sharing it. I mean, this is incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And hopefully I get to meet you guys someday in person.
It'd be fun coming over to Boise and say hello.
I know. Now that I know that you're there and you're a resource, we need more doctors that are helping these patients and helping spread the word.
And that believe us.
Yes.
That's such an important thing.
That's the biggest.
No, it's very refreshing when I walked into Dr. Carlfeld's office and told him all these crazy things. And he's like, yeah, I believe you. And if you told me crazier things, I would believe that too. And he honestly believed me, you know, because he's seen it. Because there is no, Lyme disease does not have just a guideline of symptoms. And it doesn't have a guideline for a cure. It just doesn't. Everybody is so different. So just to have a doctor that will actually listen to you and believe you. I mean, he might also think I'm a little crazy, which I probably was from my Lyme, but.
Well, who's to say that I'm not a little crazy? You know,
I think we all have a little craziness. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to survive life.
It's a spice we need to survive. Yeah.
Well, I'm so excited. You're on your way to having your new life. I was going to say your old life back. We don't want that back. We have our new life moving forward. So thank you again for sharing your journey. It's going to mean the world to the listeners out there.
Thank you so much for having me on. And yes, we'll be in touch.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.